free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on a beautiful Wednesday in Las Vegas, Nevada. Sitting here on the big Penn Jillette show on Free FM. That's CBS, I guess. And 866-570-PEN, 7366. I always give the phone number before I've discussed anything. So if someone has a better idea than me for the show, they can call in and get in there right away, and it could pop up on the screen. 866-570-PEN, 7366. In case something's eating at you and you're saying to yourself, gee, I hope Penn and Michael Goudeau talk about that today, you could call up and do an advanced strike.
Preemptive.
Preemptive. Before we get into something else,
preemptive topic.
I have a topic. I have a couple topics in mind, but maybe you have a better one. 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com is the address. Penn is two N's. PennRadio.com is our web address. So you should be able to get in touch with us. If you really can't get in touch with us, then, well, very simple. You don't have a computer or phone. We can narrow this down. Or you don't want to. Which is the choice I think most of you are making. 866-570-PEN, 7366. The article that caught my attention this morning, poring over my blog lines and all the newspapers, is this article from today in the Independent, which is a Brit newspaper, the Independent online edition, written by a guy who's in Washington, Buncombe, I guess. Buncombe, probably. Andrew Buncombe. U.S. population hits 300 million, but is it sustainable is the question. So the population of the United States right about now is 300 million. We hit a million. What year did we hit a million in, Goudeau? You know?
No, I'm about to look that up.
No, don't look it up. I have it right here.
Really?
I have it in front of me. I just wanted you to take a guess. When was the population of the U.S. 100 million?
1967.
You were so close. You had the right century. 1915.
Okay. Wow.
1915, we hit 100 million. And then when did we hit?
100 million?
100 million.
Oh, okay.
When did we hit 200 million?
67.
67 is right. Yeah, is that what you thought I asked the first time?
Yeah, that's what I thought you asked.
Okay. 200 million, 1967. I don't know.
In 1967, people were saying, we're never going to make it.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to sustain. We're going to die. We're not going to be able to sustain 200 million.
And this guy, it's a very Malthusian article. It's, you know, the point of it is supersized nation, how America is eating the world. 300 million expected population in the United States by the end of this week. 75, life expectancy for men in the U.S. Women are expected to live until 80. So we have 75 and 80 for life expectancy right now. 63 is the life expectancy for men in the developing world. Women are expected to live until 67 in the developing world. So there's... There's 12 years more you have for living in the...
In parts of Africa, I heard today on the news, was 37.
Mm-hmm.
37
but
years.
What this ignores is all over the world, we've doubled the life expectancy. You know, that's the problem with all these statistics where they're looking at them. Yes, it should be that life expectancy around the world is the same. But the fact of the matter is that we have gotten it to 63. Whereas the lifespan of a human being without science and technology is like 24, right? And in the from 1960 on, we doubled the life expectancy in the third world. And by we, I mean we, the whole population of the planet. 395 million is the projected population of the U.S. by 2050. Which, let me see, what's how long is that from now? We'll be dead, right?
Well, 2050, you're pretty close.
Yeah, very close to dead. We'll be dead. So we don't care.
We're hoping.
We don't care. Maybe my children will be there. Your children.
I'm sure hoping.
What's sure? Yeah.
It's not that long.
No, it's like 50 years.
We might make it.
We might make it.
We're
sure.
On the edge.
Yeah, but that would be over 100. That would be over 100 years old.
You're going to make it to 112, 115.
112, 115?
I think Madison's going to get you that long.
We're getting very close to that joke by Stephen Wright, where his girlfriend wakes up in the middle of the night and says, if you were going to die in an hour, would you want to know? And he says, no. And she says, never mind. But you say I'm going to die at 110, 115?
110, 115, 112? Yeah. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay. And the point of this is 5 pounds is the amount of waste each U.S. resident produces per day. It compares with about 3 pounds per person per day in Europe and about less than 1 pound per person a day in the developing world. Gross national income per head in 2004 in the U.S. What is the gross national income per head, do you think?
8,000.
No, this is not worldwide. This is in the U.S.
12,000. Clearly, I'm too low.
39,000.
Wow.
Well, actually, $39,710. And everything, so it's getting
per
huge.
Head? So that's including children, everything?
I think that's what it's saying. Well, that's for the gross national income, yeah.
Right.
It's not, you know, paychecks, because a lot of that goes to the government. Of course, the government does pay people. And energy consumption, they have all this in kilograms of oil. 7,921 U.S. energy consumption per capita in 2001. And the rest of the nation, the rest of the world is like a fifth of that. 1,000.
So you're just saying we're using too much. What they're saying.
That's what they're saying. They're saying we're using too much of everything and that we are not sustainable.
39% of blogs are in English.
Is that right?
That's true. We're using up too much of the blog space as well.
Well, there's 6 billion people on the planet, and we're 300 million of them. And we use many, many more of the resources. But you have to keep in mind, in the 60s, there was a book called The Population Bomb. Ehrlich wrote it? Ehrlich.
Yes.
What's his first name? Paul Ehrlich. Paul Ehrlich wrote a book called The Population Bomb. I'm not sure it was 67, but it's around the late 60s. And in that book, he said that the population was not sustainable, kind of straight Malthusian type stuff that get too many people and we run out. And all his predictions were not true. And then that book is still taught on college campuses, The Population Bomb. they still talk about that as a textbook, even though every prediction it had was written wrong. There was this guy out of D.C. or around there, somewhere around that area, named Julian Simon, who changed completely my life on this. And Julian Simon, in the late 80s, I think it was, he had there was an article in the New York Times about him where Julian Simon, who was an economist, I believe, and a nut, he's a whack job, you know, he's one of us. Julian Simon went to Paul Ehrlich and said, we don't agree on anything because I believe that nothing's a natural resource except human beings. So if you increase the population by a billion, you have a lot more smart people, and those smart people can solve problems. And the problems in Africa have to do with too few populated areas where you can't get across. It's transportation. That's the problem.
And corruption.
And corruption, of course. And so Julian Simon, you know about this, Godot, his bet he made?
No.
$10,000 bet? This is fabulous. He made a bet. He went to Paul Ehrlich, and he said, I know we don't agree on anything, but we do at least agree that things get more expensive as they get scarcer. We at least agree with that. And he said, yes. And he said, I'll bet you $10,000, which is a reasonable amount of bet for a person, right? He said, and I believe it's 10 years, and I'm sure people are going to call me and correct me on all this because I have some of it wrong. I'm doing all this from memory. I have no paper in front of me about this, and I hadn't read the article for a while. But I think he said, you're going to pick minerals and values on the commodities market. You're going to pick $10,000 worth of stocks on that, and I believe that in 10 years it will be cheaper. And if it's not cheaper... If it's not cheaper as a whole, I'll give you $10,000. If it is cheaper, you give me $10,000. And he said, well, you're not going to let me do oil, of course. And Julian Simon said, no, anything. Any commodity you want. Go ahead. And Ehrlich said, it's a sucker bet. Things are going to be much more expensive in 10 years. He said, okay, it's a sucker bet. Take it. Whatever. So he did it and for 10 years. And he picked, it had a whole list of what he picked. And not only... if you correct for inflation, which they disagreed to correct on, not only did he win in the aggregate, but every single individual thing he picked got cheaper in those 10 years. And not corrected for inflation, he still won. As a matter of fact, at the time...
Did Ehrlich pay up?
Yes, he did.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and he said that the reason it was because of Ehrlich's efforts to keep population down. That's the reason that stuff got cheaper. And that changed my whole view on the whole Malthusian thing, you know. I don't even know if I'm saying that right.
Malthusian,
but if anybody knows about that bet, you can call in. I'm sure I did something wrong. That's my way of getting phone calls. I just give false information and hope that people call to correct me. 866-570-PEN 7366. That's penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And we're hitting the population of 300 million. Is that a good thing? And I'm one of the people who believes that the bigger the population, the better off we are. I mean, with 300...
If nothing else for Social Security. That pyramid scheme isn't going to work unless we have a lot more people.
Actually, yeah, we need a lot more kids. And it also seems the reason, you know, we're the only developed country that the population is growing. And that's mostly because of immigration. And it's very likely that the 300 millionth person living in the U.S. will be an undocumented alien. But there's crazy stuff in this article. This is from, as I said, The Independent. Crazy stuff. Oh, this is from Lester Brown, the director of Earth Policy Institute, an environmental group based in Washington, said, in times past, reaching such a demographic milestone might have been a cause for celebration. In 2006, it is not. Population growth is the ever-expanding dominator. Yeah.
He says dominator?
No, no. Denominator, yeah. That gives each person a shrinking share of the resource pie. It contributes to water shortages, cropland conversion to non-farm uses, traffic congestions, more garbage, overfishing, crowding in national parks, a growing dependence on imported oil, and other conditions that diminish the quality of our daily lives. Mr. Brown said that there is also a global perspective to America's rapacious model of consumption. In addition to foreign policy decisions, at least influenced by desire to secure diminishing resources, he said the U.S. was setting an example to the developing world that was unsustainable. We used to think of the developing countries as places that did not consume very much, but it's starting to change. They begin to behave like us and heading for income levels like us.
Why doesn't he just out say, I'm afraid China is going to take everything?
If China's economy...
Really?
That's the next sentence. If China's economy continues to grow at 8% per year...
Is Randy listening? Did I win $1 million?
Mr. Brown said income levels in that country would equal the 2004 U.S. level by 2031, by which time China's population would stand at 1.45 billion. If current consumption rates were multiplied to take into account its population growth, China's paper consumption would be double the current total world production of paper, and its vehicle fleet would be 1.1 billion. The world's current total fleet is 800 billion. He just doesn't get it.
He doesn't get the paper thing at all, which I always find very funny. It's like saying we're eating too many potatoes. What's the deal, man? We're going to run out of potatoes any day now. You know what? We grow potatoes. We plant them and they grow.
And thanks to the good friend of the show, Norman Borlaug, we are getting to produce more food on less land. If you want to call in, is the population 300 million of the U.S. Too much? Is population growth bad or good? I say it's totally good. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And I don't think we should be ashamed in any way, shape, or form of our success or our consumption. I think that's a great thing. For all of human history, man has wanted to live longer, be more comfortable, have more to eat, all that stuff. And I think it's good we're getting it. And I would love to see the developing world come right up to where we are. I would love to see that happen. I think it'd be a very terrific thing. 866-570-PEN, 7366. And there's this taken for granted conventional wisdom thing that especially people like Al Gore and so on, that population is automatically bad. We have to stop overpopulation. We have to get rid of overpopulation. We have to limit the number of people the number of kids that people have. And I don't know why. I think that people should have kids, that we should work on the technology to help feed people, make them more comfortable, make them happier. That's what we should be doing, not limiting the population of Earth. I think the population of Earth, we got plenty of room in the U.S.
There also seems to be an idea that wealth is a limited resource, and I don't believe that that's true.
I believe
we can continue to create until everyone has enough.
Yeah, I don't see why we can't. I'm gonna take a phone call. We've been yapping for a while. Let's talk to Dustin. Hey, Dustin, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, I was just going to say, you asked the 300 million is a lot if it's a little. I say it's too much solely because I live in New Jersey. You ever been to New Jersey?
Yeah.
It's condensed. It feels like you're a bunch of sardines in a tin. I think 300 million is way too many.
Right, but have you been to Wyoming?
Have I been to Wyoming?
Yeah.
I'm not that lucky. My job won't permit that, really. I got to be in New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is there's plenty of room in Wyoming and maybe New Jersey. But you, what do you do for a job?
Pharmaceutical sales.
Pharmaceutical sales? There are other places you could work in that. There was a little bit, you must have other reasons for living in New Jersey.
Right now, I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, if I moved out to Wyoming, that means my territory would be several hundred miles, and I'd be driving way too much per day. You know, I wouldn't be able to make it one place to the next.
But
if I'm in New Jersey, my territory is condensed.
But that's exactly the point of all this. It being condensed and there being easy transportation to be able to interact with a lot of people is one of the wonderful things about population density. You have more people that you can get to, more people you can interact to, more people who are at pharmacies and so on. And you can do that in a shorter distances. And isn't that part of the pluses of living in New Jersey?
That's part of the pluses, but at the same point in time, on the negative, you have to look at congestion. And I think if we could come up with a way to manage the population and disperse it correctly throughout the United States, that's a different story. But the fact of the matter is, once you keep adding people, they keep going to the same places. You know what I mean?
So you're saying that the 300 million people are all eventually going to end up in New Jersey.
Pretty much. That's what it feels like.
What you've got to actually stop doing is get Springsteen to get off the road yapping about Jersey. You just get Springsteen to shut up about Jersey.
You know,
a lot of
people.
You got to
shut him up, and you got to shut up Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. And while we're at it, why don't we shut up Jack Nicholson?
I'm all for it, Penn.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot for calling, man. That was Dustin there. Let's talk.
You know,
to...
when you fly across country, you see how much room we have. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You fly across at night, you look down at the lights, you go, you haven't seen a light in a long time.
I know, and also there's you also see when people talk about the impact that the human beings have had on the earth, when you fly, man, you sure don't see much of it. It looks like, you know, little ants trying desperately to build their stupid little house. But let's see. Let's talk to Joe. What's up, Joe?
Oh, hi.
How you doing, man?
Not bad. I heard what you were saying before about Paul Ehrlich and the outmoded political theories that the population theories he was using.
Yeah.
And I had just finished taking the population course. I go to Rutgers. I'm also from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And
why don't you get out so he has more room? You got to get out so Dustin has more room. Go ahead.
We were actually talking about the population bomb.
Uh-huh.
And my professor made it a point to say all these theories are outmoded, but so many people buy into them the minute they hear them.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, we're going to run out of everything in a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, he said we were going to run out of stuff in the 70s. You know, the Jetsons said I was going to have a flying space car by now, but where the hell is my flying space car?
Right. Okay, well, I think if you say that the Jetsons were no more accurate than Paul Ehrlich, I agree with you on that.
I actually have a brilliantly constructed
argument, I would say, right out of Rutgers.
I actually have a theory blaming the Jetsons and that cartoon for all of our problems today.
Yeah, all the disappointments, yeah.
Yeah, but because people are like, hey, maybe if we really pollute the Earth, we can have something just like the Jetsons thing. That's the only reason why they had to go up into space.
Is that the reason?
If we get cracking on that now, maybe in like the year 2000, we'll all have floating houses. And
are you making backstory for the Jetsons that didn't really happen? Is that what you're doing? But I do want to point out something. You know, when people talk about losing resources, you always want to. What I always want to think about 10, because in the 50s, and some of my facts will be wrong on this, in the 50s, we're really, really, really short on tin. We're running out of tin. There was going to be no tin. The prices were going very up, very fast, and everybody was talking about this tin disaster. And then you had aluminum, you know, and aluminum took over the tin, and now tin is cheaper than it was before the shortage of tin started in the 50s. So what you have to remember is you don't worry about how much paper. Maybe we won't be using that much paper in 20 years. Maybe we'll have something better. So that's the thing to keep in mind, is that the only natural resource we have is human ingenuity, and the more people we have, the more human ingenuity we have. And thanks a lot, Joe. And get out of Jersey so that Dustin has some more room, okay? Thanks. This is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PEN, 7366. We'll be back after this. Is it a good thing that we've hit a 300 million in the USA? Yeah, this is Penn Fraser Gillette here on the big free FM, CBS Radio. Phone number is 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. We got a ton of calls. I have written out here what the exact bet was. I didn't know I was going to get to this, so I went off a little bit half cocked, and now I am fully cocked. this is from a website called Julian Simon's Bet with Paul Ehrlich by Brian Carnell. This was posted in 2000, but I don't think the information has changed. In 1980, economist Julian Simon and biologist Paul Ehrlich decided to put their money where their predictions were. Ehrlich has been predicting massive shortages in various natural resources for decades, while Simon claimed natural resources were infinite. Simon offered Ehrlich a bet centered on the market prices of metals. Ehrlich would pick a quantity of any five metals he liked worth $1,000 in 1980. If the 1990 price of the metals, after adjusted for inflation, was more than $1,000, i.e. the metals became more scarce, Ehrlich would win. If, however, the price of the metals after inflation was less than $1,000, i.e. metals became less scarce, Simon would win. The loser would mail the winner a check for the change in price. Okay, so that's important. Ehrlich agreed to bet and chose copper, chrome, nickel, tin, and tungsten. By 1990, all five metals were below their inflation-adjusted price level in 1980. Ehrlich lost the bet and sent Simon a check for $576.07. Prices of metals chosen by Ehrlich fell so much that Simon would have won the bet even if the prices hadn't been adjusted for inflation. And then we have a list of how they performed. And Ehrlich's reaction was that he shouldn't have made the bet. And therefore, he was right. He said he didn't want to make the bet. But let's talk to a few people on this. 300 million is the population of the United States sometime this week. Is that too many? 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And I agree. I have the nut point of view, which is that there's plenty of room for plenty of people. What do you say? Are you with me on the nut point of view here?
Me? You're looking at me? Yes, absolutely. In fact, I've got a photo here of the lights over the United States, and you can see how much room there is. It's amazing.
You just took that photo?
I just took it myself. During the break, I ran out, climbed on top of the house.
let's talk to Chris. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, guys?
Never been better, boss. What's up with you?
I'm all right. I live over here in Chicago, which is a pretty populated area, too, you know, but I don't disagree on the fact that there's not going to be enough resources, just that the direction in which the population is going education-wise.
And did you see the Nobel Prizes? USA was very well represented. And you see what the Nobel Prize people were doing? Really advanced stuff. That RNA stuff, the Big Bang stuff. We're doing some cool, cool things. These are smart people.
No. Yeah. There's plenty of top-notch people in America, but the thing is, there's a majority of people who do not have enough of an education, and they're reproducing, and it's going to just chain off to be worse and worse.
I don't think there's any evidence whatsoever that things are getting worse in terms of education. Our literacy rates are up really nice.
Everything is increasing, but it's still not at the point where it should be.
Oh, okay. Well, once you want to say it's not as good as it could be or should be, I agree with you completely. When you say that it's not good or it's getting worse, then I disagree with it, because things are just across the board getting better. And that's the thing that was so important to me when I read first about the Julian Simon Paul Ehrlich bet. That was a really important moment for me when I realized that the natural resource was human potential and that we could do really cool things. And there's always been people saying that there was overpopulation and we're going to hell in a handbasket, and I just do not believe it. But thanks a lot, Chris, from Chicago. Thanks so much. Let's talk to Jason. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Ben.
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm driving, so I'm just going to have a hard time talking and driving. But
that's okay.
The only thing, I agree with you on population increasing being a good thing. Mm-hmm. My concern is with the dead people.
When was the last time the dead came to life? The last time in what, 1971, when all the dead came to life and started eating the alive? Now, what do you mean dead people?
We have this compelling need as people to save all of our dead people in cemeteries and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, when we talk about population increasing, nobody ever talks about whether or not how that's going to affect the land we use to save all of our dead people.
Yeah, I think that we already see, I don't know what the figures are on this, but the amount of people choosing to be cremated is
going
up all the time.
Yeah.
All the time, yeah. And I think that there's a social change that's happening. Once again, once you get into religion, they're the speed bump on the highway to progress, no doubt about it. And there are some religions that insist on being buried, and those religions, I hope, will fade away. But most people are being cremated. I mean, my mom and dad were very, very against cremation, insisted on being buried. But their generation is gone now, and as people get less afraid of death, I guess, as you know, religion builds a fear of death really heavily. As that starts to fade away, I think more people will be cremated. And cremated people, we got plenty of space for. And then by the time we run out of space for them, let's just blast them into space. You know, Pluto's no longer a planet. Maybe it can be a cemetery.
Have you been to the catacombs in Paris?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man, it's astonishing. You never expected so many people lived, let alone have died. It's tunnels underneath the city. When they built the city, it began to expand and take up too much room, and they had a lot of cemeteries. So they dug up the bones from the cemeteries and moved them into tunnels underneath the city where they had excavated the limestone to build the city, and filled it with miles and miles of skeletons.
And these aren't in coffins or anything?
No, they're just stacked up. As high, you know, about five and a half feet up, you can see over the top back into the tunnels, and it's astonishing.
Can you touch them?
You can touch them.
Can you take a bone out?
You could.
They
might all fall on you. You know, it's a little like a stack
at
the grocery store.
I've seen pictures.
They are stacked in.
But are they stacked? They still have a human kind of shape.
No, they don't.
They've separated.
No, they don't. They have not crushed. But what they've done is designs along the walls. So there's like a 2.5 foot, 3 foot wide pathway through the middle of all of these tunnels where you can see the skeletons 50 yards back in each direction.
And there's no key, right? You don't have a key. Like, you can't go find somebody from a key.
It's just
stack 40.
No. You know what it says? It says it gives you the cemeteries. So it'll say, you know, this is the cemetery from 1600. All the people from this cemetery are in this area. But there are no specific, no individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's astonishing to see. It's a wonderful
test. What was your
feeling?
Is there a funk? Is it funky?
It isn't. I thought it would stink really badly, and it didn't stink.
But they've been dead a long time.
They've been dead a long time. It's just dried bones. It's amazing. And the other thing is, you know, it's pretty clear there are no ghosts. Because if there were ghosts, there are 15 million skeletons in this tunnel. By gosh, there should be some ghosts.
Yeah. Casper, the dead kid, isn't down there.
Casper's not there.
Yeah, and is it what's the feeling? Is it cool?
It was cool. It was really cool. And it was a delightful reminder of your mortality.
And you liked that?
I liked that.
Yeah, you didn't get creeped out or weirded out?
I did not get creeped out at all.
Oh, that's good.
I thought I might, but no, I loved it. And the patterns along the walls—they had done artwork with skulls or with thigh bones. You know what I mean?
Does it cost money?
A couple of bucks.
And who did this?
The people who are building the city.
I know, but who were the actual guys? Were they just workmen?
Yeah, just workmen.
They hired them and said, go.
Hired them and said, move these bones down to these tunnels.
Wow.
Okay.
Them bones going to rise again.
Apparently it's a hot place to break into at night and make out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is so sexy. That is so sexy. That is stupid sexy. That is, and do you have to break in to do that?
I think you have to break
Why
in.
Why don't
do
they
that?
Just charge like an extra $20 for the catacomb honeymoon suite? That's a wonderful idea. That's
I'm
a great
sure
idea.
I'm sure your religious friends would complain about that.
I don't have any religious friends.
you mean our
brothers and sisters?
Our religious brothers and sisters.
Okay. I thought you meant friends.
No, that would
be a crazy thing. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. 300 million! 300 million!
Woo-hoo!
300 million!
We're
That's the
two.
Population. Let's get it up more. It's the big guy from Penn & Teller. It's Penn Jillette here on the Free FM, CBS Radio. Jimmy Kimmel's coming by my house Sunday.
Really?
Jimmy Kimmel's coming over. He's going to do a segment of the coolest places in Vegas, and he thinks my house is one of them. He's from Vegas, you know, Jimmy Kimmel. So we're going to have him over with his crew to do a thing there. And maybe I'll report on that next Monday if you want to know what it's like to have Jimmy Kimmel come over to your house. You'll find out on Monday on the big Penn Jillette Show, 866-570-PEN-7366. I like Jimmy Kimmel. I like Jimmy Kimmel a lot. I actually just in my headphones, Jack just said run tape. Maybe I'll bring a tape recorder. I'll interview Jimmy Kimmel. That'll teach him a lesson. That'll teach him to go to my house with his cameras. I'll have my little tape recorder, the rat bastard. If you want to hear the term cheese-eating rat bastard said an awful lot, go see The Departed by Martin Scorsese. Martin Scorsese, new movie with everybody in it. Like even the bit parts are like superstars. Everybody says cheese-eating rat bastard. It's all about ratting out. And I had a big epiphany about Scorsese. I used to be really, I hated Raging Bull and I hated Casino, I hate all that. I just thought it was jive and all this stuff. But then I had an epiphany last night watching it. They're just stupid movies that you're supposed to laugh at. They're just supposed to be silly. I used to think they were really serious, you know, heavy movies. They're not. It's just a goofball movie. So I love this one. It's just goofball. But I was supposed to be talking about 300 million people being the population of the USA. 866-570-PEN-7366. I just want to talk to people. Let's talk to Eric. What are you doing, Eric?
Hey, man, I'm just hanging out in my car.
Okay, cool. Get a better mic. What's up?
All right. Well, I, too, am from Jersey, proud Jersey native.
I'm sorry.
It's so crowded.
Yes.
It's really
but
crowded.
This past summer, I spent my summer working in a hotel out in Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
And there are a lot of the natives from Montana, which, of course, also borders the park.
Uh-huh.
Talking about how one of the...
I'm very glad you just said, of course, like you automatically knew that I could draw a map of the United States and know that Wyoming and Montana touched each other. Do you know that, Goodell?
Yeah.
So did I. Go ahead.
Of course. Well, a lot of the Montana natives were always complaining about how one of the big cities that they would talk about is getting so crowded and so overpopulated.
Uh-huh.
It's only 30,000 people now.
Yeah, 30,000.
The small town I grew up in has 10,000 people. It's 2 square miles.
Uh-huh.
And they're complaining about 30,000 people in this huge metropolitan city.
Well, it depends. There are some people that like to have land, lots of land around them. And there are other people. I mean, when I lived in New York City and had people, you know, I lived in an apartment, people all around me, and I'd walk out on the street. I lived just, you know, like a few blocks off Times Square. And when I get up in the morning and walked out to get my coffee, there were right on that street hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, I immediately went into the sea of humanity, and I just loved it. And I think that some people like that. I'm one of them. And if you want that open space, there's plenty of that, too. But they're complaining of 30,000 in Bozeman, huh?
Yep. And when I got there and everyone was telling me how big of a city it was, there was nothing. They had a Walmart and a mall.
Well, that is, on the other end of it, that's all you need. Your mic's really bad, so I'm going to hang up a little early there, Eric, but thanks a lot, man. I was just, I like talking to him, but his mic just sounded terrible.
It's so yours right there.
Yeah, I was trying to make it sound terrible. That's the whole point.
In the USA, we have 81 people per square mile.
81 people per square mile.
And that article written in England, in the UK, 635 people per square mile. So really, they're complaining about us? Hello?
What's that, like 8 times the number of people?
That's
per square mile?
Yeah, almost 10.
Of course, they're also talking about how many resources we use, that we're just, and also their population isn't growing, and ours is.
They're just whining.
We can go 6 times the size before we're England's population.
Yeah.
Is that right, really?
Yes.
So we could go to like 1.8 billion?
It looks like it.
Is that what they're saying, really?
That's what they're saying.
Is that right? Is that a billion?
Before
or is
we get to the UK population density, yeah.
But, of course, their number for a billion is different than ours.
Yeah, exactly.
Because what is it?
Also, we're sending them food. We're probably selling them food. You know?
Okay. So shut
maybe
up.
Maybe that's their problem.
Shut up, you teabag bastards.
If we get that many people, we won't be able to sell them food.
And this is another. I want to read this from Sharon. This is a letter from Sharon. Hey, guys, I think the biggest factor in whether the population is growing too big is who it is having the kids. It is the stupid people with below-average IQs propagating their lower intelligence, then it's a bad thing. If it's the smarter people, then it's a good thing. Do we really need more people whose biggest contribution to society is, do you want fries with that? Man, that's really a hateful, classist, uncomfortable letter.
Yeah, is that from Hitler? Sorry. I should never play the Hitler card. It was for a joke. You know, it's just the wrong thing to do. I apologize.
Yeah. Anyway,
I didn't mean that in any way.
I don't know. I think that stupid people having kids is wonderful because there's a very good chance.
The sex is still fun, even if you're stupid.
There's a very good chance. Oh, my goodness. Wow. My wife just sent me a picture of bone art done in Czechoslovakia that's really beautiful. It's just great. Man, it's just cool stuff.
That's why we need more dead people.
Yeah, more dead people. We can more art made out of bones. I'll just pick one at random. Talk to JR. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Penn?
Never better, boss. Never better.
Okay. I don't think 300 million is enough, people, because if hypothetically we got into a war with China and they kill 300 million of our people and we kill 300 million of their people, they're still 700 million strong.
Yeah, well, if you're thinking of it in terms of pawns, if you're thinking of it in terms of war fodder, then certainly that's a whole other argument we hadn't covered. We were
not only that, I run a porn site, and factually speaking, is the more killing we do, the more effing around we get to do.
Okay, I see. But why don't you, since you're all bothering being on the phone, what porn site do you run?
It's called thegashstation.com.
Gashstation.com. So that would be that's a pawn, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. The most trusted name in porn.
Okay. I'll stop. As soon as the show's over, I'm going to stop by there, okay?
Thank you very much.
Stay on the phone and give us a password. He'll keep you on the phone. I'll put you on hold and give us a password. Hey, we got to get something out of this, don't we? Yeah, we got to get a password or something, right? And, put him on the air, give him a little thing. Let's talk to – oh, this might be a good one. Let's talk to John. What's up, John?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
Love your show, love your talk, everything. I was just talking to someone the other day. If everyone in the world, 6 billion people, could stand in a square foot, they would all fit in Rhode Island.
What?
That's it.
Six billion people?
Do the math. There's tons and tons of room. People just get goofy on this.
So 6 billion people could stand together in Rhode Island?
I'm telling about 1 foot square. If you want to give them a yard, they could all fit in like Texas or something.
Okay.
Wow.
That's it. And one last comment, by the way, about your religious thing. You know, I love your magic, and I love the thing that you did with Regis.
Yeah.
As far as for your next show, I think what you should do, instead of making something disappear, you should make something appear. And I was thinking about maybe making God appear. Give him a red suit, a white beard. Wait till the end of the year.
Santa? Yeah, nice.
Sure.
That's what you need to do.
Okay, well, I'll be thinking about that. So you want, let me see what your requests are for the show, because we love to take requests. Everybody in the world standing 1 square foot each in Rhode Island, and then you want me to make God appear.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot.
My birthday is the 26th of December.
Okay.
So you have to do it on that day.
We'll try to get God for you by then. That was John.
Everybody
was
standing
great.
In Rhode Island together would be exactly like being at Disneyland.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we have a letter from Bob. We haven't read a letter from Bob in a long time. Bob, the skeptical Christian.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Says, if you could let Penn know that his religious friend wants to tell him that if you want to have sex in a creepy place, that's fine with him. I mean, it's not like you can go to hell twice. Thank you, Bob.
thank you so much. This is a note from Countdown Aaron. Greetings, Hot Mike and Hot Pen. I see zero reason to put any sort of limit on human reproduction. In fact, the very notion is rather insane to me. I am concerned about the educational opportunities available. While we've done very well in the Nobel Prizes, those people all attended school in the 70s and early 80s. I have doubts that the education today is as good as It's a mistake, I think. That said, the more people we have, the more important science becomes to increase our resources and standard of living. As to conservation, personally, I'm not a wasteful person. My reasons for want to decrease oil consumption is mostly political. I mean, we are funding the terrorists. We are fighting. Hello! So I'm... That's his. Had an exclamation point. I thought to give it that read. I'm not so much into conservation, but getting more from less reminds me of my first date. As our technology improves to be more efficient, then everyone's standard of living gets raised, and that's a good thing. Huh? Huh? Sure is, says Aaron. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing. I'm not convinced that that the education I'm not for government education. At the same time, I am morally opposed, theoretically opposed to government education. Government education is doing an okay job. People are literate. There are really smart people. And, you already said the thing about I couldn't go to hell twice, did you?
Yes, I did.
That was a very good one. Want to take another? We have plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Well, should we talk about the deer? Really, the deer population is the problem because they're not educated and they're eating a lot of stuff.
Right. There's more deer in the U.S. than there was before.
At the turn of the century, I know for sure. I've been able to confirm that. Someone wrote that it was more deer here than when Columbus arrived. I don't know about that part.
I bet that's true. And more trees, certainly. Than right. There were when Columbus arrived. So we're getting, for deer and trees, of course, a lot of people, especially people in New Jersey, think that deer are just rats with hoofs.
Well, but, we can eat them. I don't know if you knew that.
You can eat deer. You like venison?
Yeah.
You know that the people who live next to who was the big serial killer? Gacy? John Wayne Gacy? He would give them venison stew every year, and he never went deer hunting. That's one of the great facts. Let's talk to Jim. Hey, Jim, what's up, man?
Love the show, Penn.
Thanks a lot, man.
I have the same answer to both overpopulation and global warming. Mm-hmm. Canada. It's like these people in the big universities don't have maps of Canada and Russia. Huge, cold places where we can live forever.
Okay. So you have really a... Is your answer a one-word answer, Canada, or are you going to throw Russia in, too?
I'll put Russia in, too. Canada is closer to me, so I can see that.
No, that's a very important answer. I mean, they're certainly not overpopulated there. They're certainly cooler there. If Toronto is like Miami Beach, everything's solved, everything's cool, right?
Right, right.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, man. Thanks. And let's take, let's talk to Scott. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Never better, boss. Never better.
You guys are bouncing off all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you.
I am. Yeah, we are.
The one thing about when you were talking about the grades and stuff, I mean, I'm calling from Baltimore, mm-hmm. and I've been to the catacombs in Westminster Hall,
uh-huh.
Edgar Allan Poe's grave.
Sure.
Just really amazing stuff. I mean, it's just, I could tell, I'm sorry, I didn't get his name, but... I could tell that it really is fascinating.
Michael Gudeau.
I'm sorry.
Is that the name you wanted to get?
Yeah. Sorry, Michael. But it really is fascinating stuff when you can go through the catacombs and you can see this and really really embrace it. It's just incredible,
yeah.
You know? The other thing is what I said is I drive a lot, and I'm in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. metropolitan area.
Uh-huh.
And it's not so much about how much population we have. It's about where they put it. And, I mean, okay, take a drive through Kansas. You won't see a house for an hour.
Yeah.
Please. Move some people out there.
Okay. Move people to Kansas. We have people going to Canada. We're all set. Thanks a lot, Scott.
At 49 billion square feet, every person could move to New Jersey and have approximately 8 square feet of space.
Every person in the world can move to New Jersey.
That's the claim Alex has made on his email. Here.
Eight square feet of space. Wow, that's pretty good. So the population has reached 300 million in the United States of America, or will this week sometime. We don't know exactly when. And that is a very good thing, cause for celebration. We're doing fine. Let's bring all the world up to our level. Let's use natural resources and... think of new ones. That's the plan. This is Penn Jillette. We'll be back tomorrow on the Big Free FM, CBS Radio. Penn Jillette, Michael Gudeau, close the goddamn door.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.